This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
Yeah, you are in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. It's a thirsty Thursday, and that's definitely highlights where the drive is going to be. They won't be in studio. They'll be out amongst the people, and you should be amongst them as well at the Buffalo Wild Wings Willowbrook, where they'll be broadcasting today from 2 to 6 p.m. So go out and see the fellas, hang out, eat, drink, be merry, and then enter for the opportunity to win some prizes. So they always make sure that they go out there with prizes. So yeah, definitely go out, see those fine fellas, and listen to the drive with Clint and Ron. I believe Clint should be back. Shout out to B. Scott holding it down yesterday with those fine fellas. All right, what's more likely? Let's do these thought experiments to get us into the place where we kind of consider some of the things that could happen in this Sunday night football game, this big primetime battle between your Texans as they're trying to figure some things out and get themselves to playing the type of football that they know that they're capable of and they know that they should be playing versus a Lions team that's absolutely playing that kind of football to this point.
Yeah, look, and you say, you know, it's a thought exercise. And I think a lot of times you can sort of come to a conclusion like, okay, this is not looking good. Or you know what? It's looking pretty good for the Texans when you break it down like this. So let me ask you both this. Which is more likely here for Sunday? Joe Mixon rushes for more than 100 yards in the game against the Lions defense, or Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery combined for more than 120 yards in the game? Because they've always been that. They usually end up with 60, 70, 80 yards, occasionally over 100, but the combination of them is the big factor. So which one of those is more likely to happen?
It feels like it is always a given that if Joe Mixon starts and finishes a game, you'll get 100 and a touchdown. Weirdly enough, I feel like I say that the 120 from both Gibbs and Montgomery is more likely. And the reason why I say that is I think it's more likely that the Texans are behind and having to throw the football to try and get themselves into it.
See, this is why we do this exercise.
It does feel like, though.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'll ask this as a question because I'm like, I'm still not sure if I'm settled on this as an idea, but does it feel like the Texans are in a place where they need to run the football and like use that a little bit more consistently to help themselves?
It's funny you say that because I think that is where they are a little susceptible, they being the Lions. I think that, you know.
Yeah, they're 22nd overall defense, or sorry, 20th defensively in rushing efficiency.
Yeah, so they're a little susceptible. So I'm going to go Joe Mixon, maybe a little more like. Not that the Texans are just, you know, completely shutting down the run all the time, but I think the Texans are like 17th?
16th.
Okay.
When it comes to defensive
rushing. So they're okay.
Defense. Middle of the pack.
Yeah. Figgy?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Joe Mixon too, man. I think the defense is going to step up in this game. And I don't see Gibbs and Montgomery having more.
All right, so that's a check mark. But we got several others here. So more likely for Sunday, the Texans get 2+ sacks collectively on Jared Goff, or the Lions get 2+ sacks on C.J. Stroud?
Lions just added a pass rusher as well.
Lay up.
I mean, coming off of a game where C.J. Stroud was sacked all of 8, count them, 8 times.
Yeah.
It's the C.J. Stroud. Like, that's the thing that Jared Goff, that they do well, is that they have a great offensive line. They keep him upright, and that's what makes him so damn good. Mm-hmm. When he has time, he makes the right decisions. He can make most of the throws that you need. Like, he is a very good quarterback. It's when he's under pressure that he's that it's problematic. So if you get 2 sacks, you shift this game in a huge way into the favor of the Texans.
Yeah.
I just don't feel great about that, especially with Will Anderson Jr. didn't practice today.
Yeah.
And Sam Warren of the Chronicle put together a really, really interesting piece about just the different level that Will Anderson Jr. playing takes this defense to, even as you can see,
in every level.
A lot of great defensive players. Mm-hmm. He stirs his drink in a way that I don't know we even give him enough credit for.
I agree.
So, yeah, that feels like a tough situation for the Texans.
Yeah, the Lions going to get
a layup, man.
Yeah.
It's a layup. All due respect. All right, so what's more likely here now? The Texans' defense steps up in the red zone, or the Lions' defense steps up in the red zone. Interestingly, the Lions in the red zone have had a couple of issues here and there, but the Texans as well, especially in the second half.
Oof. Do you have a call? Do you have a read on this?
I kind of look at it the other way, man. I feel like the Lions are really good offensively in the red zone. So I'm gonna go the opposite. I feel like the Lions gonna be a little more dominant defensively in the red zone.
Yeah, especially like you look at the Texans having fewer of those red zone options.
Mm-hmm.
Tank Dell is still going to be there, and you saw that connection happen against the Jets in the red zone. So that gives you some confidence that you'll have some of that there, but. Again, now I talk about the other guy that did not practice today, Nico Collins.
That's what did it for me.
It really felt like that was going to be one of the things that helps them break some of this open and makes them more efficient in the red zone, because they haven't been.
Yeah, they have not been, and that's what is the ultimate deciding factor. I don't anticipate him playing. We'll hear from D'Amico Ryans here in a little bit, but no, actually we won't, because it's coordinator day, which ties directly into my next more likely to happen. We got a lot of confidence in, at least in the kicking game, or had.
Oh, wow. That quickly it goes away, huh?
With the Texans special team. But more likely to happen on Sunday, the Texans turn the game with their special teams play, or the Lions turn the game with their special teams play. And for those who don't know, they might have to hose down Frank Ross after his press availability today, because the Lions special teams is ridiculously good. Like, they have haven't missed a field goal, Jack Bates. Their net yards punt, number one in the NFL. Yards per kickoff return, number one in the NFL.
And that's the portion of the of this that I think is going to be big.
They got one that went all the way.
The opportunity for big returns for the Lions, I think, is the big thing. It almost feels counterintuitive, because Kaimi is still like very good, but a lot of that was early on in the season. It's cooled just a little bit without, you know, being disrespectful to that man. But it's tough, because if Kaimi is kicking the ball a whole bunch in a notable way, it means that you're turning sevens into threes, or you're just not being productive in that way. And this feels like one of those games where you need sevens as much as possible, as opposed to threes.
Yeah.
So I think the possibility of a special teams turning the game, that feels very much like it's in the Lions' court.
Biggie?
Yeah, I think I'm going to roll with the Lions on this one, man.
All right, so I this next one...
I feel like I'm being way too Texans negative here.
No, I've been with you on
by and large. This Lions is a damn good team, man.
It is a good team.
Now, this one, and I'm not trying to be more negative on the Texans here, it's how we determine how we really feel about this game is when you kind of break it down. It's kind of a gambler's thing. Like, let's break down each, you know, what's more likely to happen. Okay, that's their check mark, et cetera. This one, I admittedly put it down this morning before we realized that Nico Collins wasn't practicing again. Jameson Williams, who is coming back off a suspension. I guess it was a 2-game suspension, I think.
2 games, yes, sir.
For performance and whatever it was. Or Nico Collins, who we thought was going to be coming back from you know, the hamstring. So it's kind of unfair, but Jameson Williams or Nico Collins having the bigger impact, I think that's kind of another layup just based on default.
Yeah. If Nico Collins did play, though, I feel like I would go there.
Mm-hmm.
Nico Collins represents, if he was able to play, if he's able to go. Now, of course, he did not practice today. We did not get any news of like a change in the designation from return. And so it feels highly unlikely that he would practice on Friday and then they'd be like, all right, good to go. Everything's all good.
Mm-hmm.
But if he did, because he represents so much more of like, or at least earlier in the season when he was playing, he represented so much more of your production passing wise. I think that's a huge thing. Like, Jameson is a big play threat. Don't get me wrong. They have a lot of other ways that they can hurt you when you talk about Sam LaPorta, mm-hmm. talk about Amon-Ra St. Brown, especially we know the somewhat vulnerability that exists with your Texas team when it comes to good wide receivers in the slot.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of other ways that you go, ooh, they can really hurt you. And then you also consider passing isn't even the big thing for them. It's the idea that they can now get out here and tote that rock.
Yeah.
The idea that if Nico Collins could play, that he would change, that you have a lot more opportunities at deep slot shots. You have an opportunity to make your screen game
mm-hmm.
and quick game go a lot better. Like, he would make a huge, huge change in this. And that's why it's so devastating that he was not able to practice today.
All right. Well, Figgy, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, Nico, I think that would be the bigger impact if he was
playing. Sad thing is, I don't think he's going to play. But yeah, if he does, you're right. Yeah. If he does, you're right. All right, so C.J. Stroud, plus 250 yards passing without an interception, or Jared Goff plus 250 yards passing without an interception? That might be the determining factor right there.
The interception part?
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you're talking about turning the ball over, especially with mm-hmm. like Brian Branch out there roaming,
yeah,
he's just been such a good ball hawk in some ways. But if you're just talking about the yardage, I actually am going to go CJ.
I am too.
Like,
the interception thing is kind of the fly in the ointment.
Yeah, it sure is. But yeah, I think that you're going to have more opportunities to throw the football, and hopefully, or maybe not hopefully, but like in the other way of this, if the game goes a little sour early, where the Texans are in a place where they're having a chase,
yeah,
you'll have more situations where CJ's dropping back, I imagine, and more opportunities to throw the football.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I think the no picks is probably going to be one of the absolute determining factor. Jared Goff, as we've talked about, incredibly accurate, incredibly good season.
Yeah,
knows where to put the ball.
And that's a team that literally leads the league in turnover differential. They're plus 11.
Yes. But yet, C.J. Stroud, although we've seen him sort of not, is playing out of his skin a little bit here lately, he doesn't normally throw interceptions. And, if you're checking all these boxes and you feel like the running, Joe Mixon versus Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery might be something of a push, if you think the sacks, is clearly favoring the Lions, then it might be another bad day for C.J. Stroud throwing the ball, just because of the pressure.
Yeah, and then the idea of the interceptions, the pressure, right? Like, is Jared Patterson, who we're still assuming, like, he's at practice, mm-hmm. but None of the media are able to see, like, once they get into the offensive line, work and seeing who is actually getting these first team reps and all those things. We're not certain. Mm-hmm. We're just making the assumption based on the idea that when Kenyon Green got hurt a couple weeks ago, Jared Patterson was the guy that they went immediately to. We're making that assumption that he is going to be that left guard. But with that assumption in tow, like, is that offensive line then going to, raise the floor high enough to where they can do the things that are necessary? Or are you going to be in that place once more where, it's Jared Patterson, but it's the same results?
All right. Well, you're kind of reading my mind here.
Oh, my bad.
No, it's good. It's perfect. Jared Patterson starts at left guard.
Correct.
Or someone else.
Jared Patterson. I'll take Jared Patterson over the field.
Yeah, me too. Yep.
I don't know.
Oh, okay. So who's the someone else there, right? Because obviously the potentials exist. Kendrick Green's a potential there. He was the guy who got the.
You know what I can't get over?
Mm-hmm.
They have had 10 days. If they were going to do this, quote, everything on the table, drastic move.
Are you talking about musical chairs?
I was going to say, and I'm not
musical
even,
chairs.
And I'm not even necessarily talking about Tytus Howard, but maybe get what's his name, Broker, who's played guard. It plugged in on playing guard. Nick Broker was the next guy up during training camp. He was the sixth offensive lineman, I think, because Blake Fisher was just coming along, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm wondering, they got to have something up their sleeve to try to bolster that. Or is it just as simple as, that's why I asked the question.
Well,
is
I mean,
Jared Patterson?
It's a possibility. I don't want to outright dismiss that. However, why we ain't seen nothing in that vein, right? You mm-hmm. had Jared Patterson, who was the first guy they turned to when Kenyon Green gets hurt a couple weeks ago. When Kenyon Green goes out in the Jets game, Kendrick Green is the guy they go to. And at no point did it feel like Nick Broeker was...
But you got 10 days now.
That guy. And maybe 10 days changes it, but at least you would have imagined that maybe you see him in any of those circumstances. And both of those guys, it seems, the guys that they turned to prior to Nick Broeker in those other situations, both those guys seem like viable options. I don't see why logically you would shift that, unless maybe, you know, you see something different. That's a possibility. But it feels like it would be Patterson or Kendrick Green. And when it comes to those two, we saw 10 plays with Jared Patterson where they moved the ball effectively. And then we saw all them plays with Kendrick Green where he had a hell of a lot of fight.
Mm-hmm.
The actual like blocking and stuff looked kind of similar to
fight Kendrick. Doesn't always make the block.
No, but hey, man.
But it was good to see.
You have been in such a place where fight is something that was very welcome to see.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
There you go.
Yeah.
I don't think that made me feel good. Ultimately,
that's why we do the exercise.
Yeah. And I mean, that was the understanding, is that the Detroit Lions come in as a team that is very good, but then also as a team that has been playing really good football, really well actualized version of football of what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And this Texas team, you're hoping that they are finding some of the answers. So just off of that alone, right, if this was a head-to-head matchup of both teams at their strength,
mm-hmm.
we would have a little bit of a different place. But this Texas team, they're trying to figure some things out, and they have to figure them out kind of quickly on the fly. But you hope that they can do that, as they have some of the advantages of being at home, having that, you know, kind of mini bye, having mm-hmm. a 10-day span between their last game and this one. So you hope that those things can help, but... If we're just doing the analysis of the evaluation of what this thing looks like, the more likelies have really leaned towards the Lions. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Just a reminder, we saw with practice earlier today, about over an hour ago, I think is when practice kind of got started. No Will Anderson, no Nico Collins in practice, which kind of put some doubts on both of their involvements on Sunday Night Football with the Lions. So we'll see what that looks like. But right now, it's about that time where we turn it over to our man Figgy Fig for Figgy's mixtape. What we got?
Yeah, so I'm going to be heading out to Buffalo Wild Wings in Willowbrook today to hang out with Clint and Ron. And technically, Buffalo Wild Wings is classified as a sports bar. So I want to go through some huge do not do's or say's when it comes to the bartender.
Okay, don't mess up. Don't mess with the bartender. We'll talk about it next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a thirsty Thursday. Happy Thursday to everyone out there. I'll be out there with Clint and Ron for Thirsty Thursday at Buffalo Wild Wings and Willowbrook in that plaza over there.
Correct, yeah.
So if you in that area, or hell, if you're not in that area, come on out, man, mm-hmm. because I'm not in that area, and I will be driving out there. So
I would, but I probably need to go lay myself down somewhere.
You got to get some rest, man.
Rest that throat.
That sounds crazy.
Yeah, pause.
Yes, I appreciate that.
Pause. But before we get to these bartenders, the stuff you don't do or say to these bartenders, I got to bring up a text to the show, man. Mm-hmm. Shout out to my man Cecil Shorts.
Oh, yeah.
Who is a listener. He always listening on the Odyssey app and in the car and all that stuff. Probably watching on the YouTube stream, too. But he texted me this not too long ago. He said, y'all are a bunch of Grinches, LOL. So a little backstory. We was talking about the Christmas music, when the best time to play it.
After mm-hmm. Thanksgiving, correct?
Yeah. He said Christmas music is a part of Thanksgiving.
Nah.
In this time of the year, LOL.
What, this time of, boy, it's 80-some degrees outside. What you mean?
Well, I did say, like, if you want to start on Thanksgiving or the day before Thanksgiving, I'm good with that, because Thanksgiving is the official, unofficial, hey, it's holiday season. So a day, maybe, but, like, people playing Christmas music right now?
Nah, yeah, nah, man. Hey, shout out to the old lady.
And look, again,
got the tree up and she's playing it.
Look, you don't got to listen to what I'm doing. Do what you want to do. I'm not nobody's daddy. But what I am saying is that I just don't get how y'all be listening to Christmas music for two months straight.
Yeah.
Straight.
Hey, if they had a radio station that played number Christmas music all year round, I'm telling you, they will still do some numbers, man. You still have some crazy folks out there that would listen to Christmas music in March.
God bless you, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's some year-round Christmas stores.
But y'all gonna put some respect on Thanksgiving, though. I'm gonna tell you that.
They got the Nutcracker coming up, right?
Yeah.
The
Nutcracker Market.
Oh my God. I went there one time, man. Crazy. I ain't know what to expect. Look, man. I don't wanna call the white folks.
There's a bunch of drunk women.
Yes. Dude,
okay. I said
it was a bunch of drunk women hopping off of a tour bus.
Yes,
with matching Christmas shirts on.
Yeah,
drunk as a skunk going in. I'm like, what in the world?
Having a blast.
What is this?
They're doing the woo woo dance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Woo woo dance.
Yeah.
Sad thing is, I know exactly what you mean. Exactly what you mean.
Yeah, but yeah, man. Shout out to Cecil Shorts. Yeah.
Shout out to Cecil. Mm-hmm.
But let's get to this real quick, man. So I'm gonna be at Buffalo Wild Wings. It's a sports bar, and shout out to all the bartenders there. And I want to go through the do not do's or say's when it comes to talking to a bartender or interacting with a bartender.
I love this.
I'm gonna go through this list. Shout out to all the bartenders out there. If you guys text them in at 713-572-4610. But I'm gonna go down this list. I want to see if y'all agree with this.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Snapping.
Hey, snapping your fingers.
Excuse me. Hey,
well, who the people waving that snap and say excuse me? Because I feel like once you start snapping, you probably doesn't have that
you
much
don't even
respect.
Have to say, yeah,
you probably don't have that much respect for the bartender.
Yeah, or even waving. What's the proper way to try to get a bartender's attention?
I normally, if it's crowded, I just try to angle my way up as close as possible to the bar, just so they like see me standing there doing nothing. You know, so they can go, oh, hey, you need anything?
I tried to do the little finger, the kind of.
Yeah, just like
Excuse me.
Yeah. Like, I don't try to be aggressive like I'm trying to call a cab, but I try to.
You said
like,
people
hey,
are
I'm
waving
right
money?
No, some people wave money.
That's a bad call. That's a bad call.
I'm not going to you.
Well, I'm rarely in a place that is so busy that it's just like you really fighting. But even if I was, I'm very passive in these situations where I'm just like, I'll stand there and I'll try and make it look like, hey, I'm waiting for you.
Yeah.
But
that's what I do. I just stand there.
I'm here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't. And you know, sometimes I get passed over, and I understand that. But I'm like, look, man, they working. It's cool. They'll get to me eventually.
What about this one? Can you make me a strong drink?
Can you be more specific?
Yeah, because what are you trying to say? Well, I mean, even if you is that like just the full order? Can you make me a strong drink?
I don't know.
But that's also sort of an insult, like they're cheating you.
That's exactly what I took it as. Yeah. Like, make a drink and don't be skimping like you usually do.
Yeah,
you kind of come across as like you're trying to get a little extra for a lower price.
Yeah.
Like, plus,
put a little extra in there.
If they weren't thinking about skipping you on a drink before,
they
are now.
Yeah.
They are now.
How about this one? Surprise me.
Yeah, don't. Like what are you supposed to do?
With no guidance, nothing. Just surprise. Like, all right, I'm going to give you some Coke 45. Man, we don't even serve that. I'm going to give you a glass of Coke 45 then.
All right, so I have to ask a
surprise.
Question. I have to ask a question.
Please. Yeah.
Is it okay to ask the bartender for a recommendation then?
No, absolutely.
All right, cool.
I think
because I have asked for a recommendation, and then within those recommendations, been like, all right, whichever one.
Yeah,
that is kind of a surprise me.
That's a gray area.
It is kind of a surprise.
That's a gray area.
I have been a little bit that guy.
Yeah,
I kind of did that one time. I was actually out of town, and I stopped at a local bar, and I asked about the local beers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what's a good local beer? And he was totally fine with it because he knew I was from out of town.
But, so, do's and don'ts, basically, mostly don'ts with bartenders. I got to share this story real quick. I told you guys before the show. So we were at an event I did, the Feeding Frenzy for the Bite Me podcast. and I was standing next to a woman who ordered a drink, and there's a big bowl. And when I say big, it's not like one of those little bowls, like a big bowl.
Like it looked like a salad bowl?
Like a salad bowl of cut up limes.
Yeah.
She reached her hand in there, grabbed a lime for her.
And we don't know when the last time she washed her hands is.
Dude, I thought the bartender was going to. He didn't say a thing. He just like had that death stare.
Yeah, because now he got to cut up a whole bunch more lemons or limes or whatever.
Exactly. Then he grabbed the whole bowl and threw it in the trash.
Oh, man.
And the worst thing of all, he was standing right in front of her.
Yeah.
Like she could have just said, hey, can I have a lime? No, she reached her hand in there and grabbed a lime.
That's terrible, man. Especially being in the bar.
Yeah.
Another one. Somebody complaining about the prices.
You're at a bar.
You're at a bar. What you complaining about the price for?
You go into a bar with eyes wide open.
People really be complaining about the prices?
Well,
it's, out loud, right? Like keep that one goes in your head. Like, damn, man, they really taxing. All right, let me get one of these, or just get a water.
Yeah, I don't even ask. The only time I bring up a price is if it's like, sometimes I ask, is there a happy hour or a special going on? Mm-hmm. If it's not, I'm not sitting there, how much that costs? Or, dang, that's, I'm not doing all that.
I say again, it's a bar.
What about this? What about this? Ordering an elaborate cocktail during a rush.
Oh, can I have a rusty nail with a blah, blah, blah? And
shaking, not stirring.
Yeah. Or how about this as a variation of that? Ordering a cocktail like that in like a dive bar, knowing damn well they're not doing all that.
Yeah, they got beer and beer.
Yeah, they got beer. The most you might get is you might get a Jack and Coke. Like, we're not doing all that, man.
Do you have the Blackberry Ciroc?
Yeah, we're not doing none of that. Man,
and like, the number of bars that have true bartenders that know all the drinks out there is very limited.
It is very limited. Yeah. Now you just got some pretty girls pouring drinks.
Yeah. I went to Julep last Friday. We had a drink. And that's a bar.
Out here in these streets.
Yeah. Hey, we had to do something.
What about the person that's trying to flirt for freebies? Man or woman.
I mean, just flirt to flirt, man. Like don't be cheating.
I don't even like nobody flirting with the bartender.
I was just gonna say that's kinda weak in general.
I'm fine with the conversation, especially if it's a smaller bar, nobody in there and the bartender having a good conversation. I'm fine with that.
But here's the tough thing. I kind of respect getting in where you fit in. Like, if you can make it work, I don't know if I could be too mad at you.
But do you know how many people talk to these bartenders and bartendresses and you think you're going to be the one?
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. If you can make it go, I don't know that I could be mad at you for doing that. Someone from the 409 on the 5-Hour Energy fan line said, got to get the bartender's name. They say, I always appreciated those who yelled my name for attention rather than someone waving money or waiting. Interesting.
That's good.
That's fair. Mm-hmm. That's fair.
So one of the few dudes that we've had thus far in the segment.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. What about this one? Ask, can you make me something fruity with no details at all?
Yeah. Here's some grapes.
And that's my. Here's a soda.
Hey, what's on the menu? That's kind of got that complexion.
Yeah. Here's a juice box.
Yeah.
Like what the hell do that mean?
Oh. This is like very tangential, but I feel so bad from 346. They said they were so drunk one time that they forgot their own phone number when the waitress wanted it.
Oh, that's
what a fumble.
Man.
That's what you call striking out.
What a fumble.
that was an Aaron Judge strikeout.
Yeah, man. Big swing.
Yeah.
Big hack.
What about people that leave a mess at the bar?
Oh, that's nasty, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and especially when if it's like they know it's an easy cleanup or they're just making a mess and all that. Just come on. Have a little more respect.
Yeah, what about the people that start a tab and leave their card? They take off without their card.
Oh, that's just, hey man, you're dealing with drunk people. They'll be back.
Bartenders be really frustrated about
really?
That.
Really?
To the point, like I went to a bar one time, they had like a, I want to say it was like a $200 fine.
Mm-hmm.
If you leave your card.
I thought that they would just they just close it out with a nice gratuity, and then they hold on to your card. I thought that was the normal game plan.
Hey, text in if it, like I want to know why is it, like this really frustrated a lot of bartenders too. I don't know if it's like a pain in the butt to try to get all this together, but they do not like people just taking off without their cards. Without
I mean, you forget.
Yeah, I mean, you drunk, man. Yeah. Like sometimes that happens.
You've been drinking, even if you're not drunk, you're just like whatever.
I've always thought that there are bars, and I've definitely seen at least one or two that like make it known that hey, if you leave your tab open,
that I think you pay that price.
Automatic like 25% gratuity, and then
I think that's the price
out.
You pay.
Yeah,
I think it is.
Yeah, what about this one? Asking for free samples of every drink.
Yeah, this isn't.
Come on, man.
It's in a yogurt shop.
They at the Baskin Robbins out here trying all 31 flavors.
This ain't no yogurt shop. Yeah.
arguing about their pour.
Oh, that's a good way to get your drink spit in. Oh, you shorted me on that pour.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's too much.
Oh, well, that too.
Yeah. Yeah. Rushing the bartender for service.
Like, what do you mean?
Hey! Hey!
Oh, no.
Hey!
Leave him alone.
Yeah. Yeah. What about this one? Can you hook me up?
Oh, you want a
hook
free drink?
Hook you up with what?
Yeah, you want a free drink.
Well, tell me what you want. Hook you up with what?
I never get that, because, like, if you don't know them, why are you assuming that that's going to happen? Now, like, if you know them, maybe.
We're friends, right? Okay, you can hook me up.
Yeah, we kind of go through that at the radio station. Can you hook me up with some tickets?
Yeah.
Buddy, I can't hook myself up.
Yeah, I know, man. Like, people think we just walking around with Texans tickets in our pockets, man. Like, only on Tuesdays.
Yeah, on these giveaways, they do not run through us. Yeah. Let me tell you.
Yeah,
don't see the tickets ever.
And we are not part of the giveaway either. They don't get... Mm-mm. Yeah, I ain't even going to go there. what about telling them how to make a drink? Or how to make your drink?
If it's a complicated drink. You know, if it's a complicated drink, or they ask, I mentioned Rusty Nail. That's a drink that I've had in the past. I haven't had it in years, but you know, they say, "What's that?" I'm like, "Oh, okay, it's one part Drambuie, one part Scotch." And they go, "Oh, okay, you know, whatever."
Yeah,
but only if they ask.
Yeah, this one is a must to me. Not tipping or leaving a joke type of tip.
Yeah, we know the answer. Those are hardworking people.
Yeah, starting fights or complaining about other customers.
Why are you starting fights?
Because they're drunk.
Well, it's probably because
they forgot their card.
Because somehow you got Mad Dog at that bar is what happened or something.
Exactly.
You were drinking something that you had no business drinking is what happened there.
Yeah, this last one, bartenders probably get pissed off over this, but ordering drinks right before the last call.
Manager doesn't mind. Bartenders do.
And expecting to stay and kind of stick around.
Yeah.
Just be like, man, get the hell out of here,
turn
man.
Turn the lights on.
Hey, it's 1:50.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a couple things. Mm-hmm. A couple don'ts. And a couple things you don't do or say to these bartenders. And real quick, before we get out of here, I wanted to play this, man.
Uh-oh.
I'm sure some people might be familiar with the R&B singer from the 90s, Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle, she was involved with Dr. Dre back in the day. Kind of got a little messy. You could look up the story and all that. But I want to get John's reaction to this. So I'm sure you probably heard this song before right here.
Okay. That is like 90s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's ringing a bell.
Yeah. So she.
No idea who that was.
Yeah. Beautiful voice. But her speaking voice is a little unique. So I'm going to play this clip of her just singing a cappella, and then she's going to go right into her talking voice.
Okay.
I'm leaving and you know I tried. You don't appreciate the time I tried.
She can sing, right?
Yeah.
No studio trick. Wow.
Whoa.
You have an incredible voice.
Thank you.
I don't mean, you know, I really apologize. I don't want to embarrass you, and I keep talking about your speaking voice, but it's so unusual. But you've always spoke like that? I mean, you've always had that same speaking voice?
Mm-hmm. When I was younger, I was shy, and I used to talk real light. Then when I finally did open up and start talking, this is what came up.
Y'all don't try to do this to me, man.
No. No, that's actually how she talked.
No, I'm not falling for it. I'm not falling for it.
Look it up, man.
I ain't falling for it.
Look it up. That's how she talked, man.
You're trying to put one over on your boy here.
No, I'm dead serious.
You are not.
Look,
ain't no one talk like that and sing like that.
I'm going to give you some homework, man. Just look up the story of Michelle. That's how she talked, man.
Y'all are lying. You're lying.
I'm dead serious.
Play that her voice again.
It's so unusual, but you've always spoke like that? I mean, you've always had that same speaking voice?
Mm-hmm. When I was younger, I was shy, and I used to talk real light. Then when I finally
did
open up and start talking, this is what came up.
He's calling shenanigans.
Yeah, this is absolute shenanigans.
Hey, if you know the story, Michelle, this is a true story, man.
That's an incredible disparity in talking
Did
voice.
You know this?
I feel like I'd heard before. It's been a while since I thought about
it. Yeah, she actually gave a story on how, why her voice is that way and all that stuff. But yeah, no, she actually talks like that.
Man.
You'll be surprised when you hear my real talking voice. All right, you're in the loop. That's Figgy's mixtape right here in the loop on Sports Radio 610, 120 every weekday. All right, coming up next, we get ready to hand it off to our fellas of The Drive as they are live doing Thirsty Thursday at the Buffalo Wild Wings in Willowbrook. We'll do that next.
Thank you, Figgy.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
You are in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Lopez, Figgy Fig, Reginald Atitula hanging out with you on this Thursday, getting you ready for a Thirsty Thursday edition of The Drive, this time out at the Buffalo Wild Wings in Willowbrook. Go see the fellas out there. They'll have some giveaways, of course, that you sign up for, and, of course, the good eats and drinks that Buffalo Wild Wings provides for you. So go see the fellas. And our very own Figgy Fig will be out there as well.
So yeah, man.
If you need, if you needed any more motivation to go see them, go do that. We were... Some people wanted to confirm for you, Lopez.
Oh, we're getting a bunch of texts. No, really. No, really. That's how she talks.
I want you to know.
Yeah.
This is for real.
Dig into that story, man.
Figgy is not pulling wool over your eyes. This is really what is happening here.
And that might be what Reggie sounds like tomorrow. I don't know.
We'll see, man. I hope it has not sounded like it, but I've been battling.
If you sound like that, do not come in.
I've been battling.
We hold it down.
Yeah. I have been battling. Coughing off air and such. But we making it. In fact, we have made it. One more segment, though, before we talk to our fellas out at Willowbrook, at the Buffalo Wild Wings in Willowbrook. But we mentioned some of the big news the other day that we learned from practice. Nico Collins did not practice today. Will Anderson Jr. did not practice today. Those are two of the big ones that we're looking out for, especially because of just how large their presences loom on the offensive and defensive sides of the ball, respectively.
Mm-hmm.
And Nico Collins still dealing with that hamstring. And it really did feel like if he did not practice today, I think DJ Bienemy even said this kind of outright, it'd be unlikely that he'd be, you know, designated for return and that, you know, you might not see him in this game. And that's where we are. And then Will Anderson, just he matters so much in what this team does. However, there's some other things that happen at practice that I guess it's easy to not kind of pay as much attention to. Like, Derek Barnett didn't practice yesterday, but he did return to practice today, which is good. However, Damian Pierce and Foley Fatukasi didn't practice yesterday, and they didn't practice again today. I think the Fatukasi thing is interesting because he feels like a player that's kind of been taken for granted in some ways. Like, you just kind of expect him to be there doing what he does as a defensive tackle. He's been pretty good for you this year.
Well, by and large, across the middle. You know, or I should say in the interior of the defense. But he's been very good for you, even if you're not necessarily seeing it all come up on the stat sheet. Plus, you know, we still don't have Mario Edwards. So it's just another little sort of nick.
And you just sent Khalil Davis out.
Khalil Davis is gone.
Like, how much concern do you have seeing that Foley did not play on this Thursday, or practice rather on this Thursday? Thursdays being one of the more important days of practice because it feels like it's highly
last padded day usually unless they decide that week not to just go with shoulder pads or something. But I think that's absolutely good, especially against an offensive line like that, you know, one of the strongest offensive lines. Everybody, as you heard, you know Andy Kalu was talking earlier about everybody's, you know, dealing with these, you know, nicks and stuff, but boy, when they pile up in the same area or the same, you know, unit, that's when it starts to affect you.
Yeah, that'll be a real tough go of it. Now, Jonathan Alexander of the Chronicle did make note of something, that there have only been two players this year that have, you know, not practiced on Thursday and then ultimately played on Sunday. Dalton Schultz, Foley Fatukasi. So maybe Foley Runshaw could pull that out once more and have that same feeling. But yeah, that would be hugely important. And I guess he really kind of threw that up there in the context of Nico Collins, because that's the one that it feels like is super necessary. But I don't wanted to highlight the idea that Fatukasi not practicing. I think that's one that is easy to go under the radar, but is one that matters in a big way.
And don't sell it short how important maybe even to Damian Pierce. And we're sitting here talking this week about he really doesn't have that many carries, but they think pretty highly of him, and you still have, you know, Dare and J.J. Taylor to deal with. So, you know, Damian Pierce as well, and he didn't practice yesterday. So, they're piling up. But the Will Anderson and Nico Collins thing is a little bit, like, I don't expect them to play. Like, as you just mentioned, it's Thursday. They didn't practice yesterday. But it seems like D'Amico's still kind of holding out hope because he keeps saying, well, we'll see how it, you know, how it goes, basically. So I don't know if they're close or they're just sort of not wanting to say or what, but no Will Anderson, no Nico Collins. That's a big problem.
That is tough. Now, I did want to put some more context on the Foley Fatukasi. He was working on the side today.
Okay.
So maybe that does offer some opportunities for him to still play after not practicing on, not even being a limited participant on a Thursday. So that would be helpful. But yeah, just some of the practice report types things with what was happening with the Texans today. Like, if you had to come up with one word for this game that's coming up, right? Like, for this Texans-Lions game, what do you think that word would be? That you're using to think about?
Well, I would have to hyphenate it.
Okay.
Tipping point.
Okay.
Yeah. I mentioned it to you earlier. Actually, Indy also mentioned, you know,
he did as well,
that it could be a tipping point game. I really believe that, man. I mean, like, the train is not going to go off the rails, but I think there's going to be a real recognition of, they're not what we thought they were. You know, right now it's kind of a discussion. If the line gets better, if Nico gets back, you know, whatever, you know, else might help. If CJ Stroud can carry the load, and all those things remain true, and they might get better. But boy, you get worked again after Kenyon Green is already out of the lineup, you know, with the injury, and would have been probably benched anyway. And you bolster the lineup. You have 10 days to prepare. You're at home, Sunday night football. The Texans get worked again. But on the other hand, the good part of the tipping point is if you can pull it out, if you can improve enough on the line to be more than, you know, serviceable, and CJ Stroud is more confident and makes better decisions with the ball. And I think it go either way after this week. I really do. Tipping point. How about you?
I can't even hyphenate. So at this point, this would be a phrase, right? Because as somebody said, can we use a phrase? Remember the Alamo, which that is a really interesting perspective of doing that. Just
burn the boats
for all the dudes that are injured and are not on IR or whatever. Yeah. You get out there and you do this. Somebody said obliterated. That's the word on the text line from the 713. They said, what's your prediction? Pain. So thank you for that.
Is that good pain or bad pain?
I imagine it's not a good one. embarrassing. Wow. There's not a lot of faith necessarily with what's happening here.
Mm-hmm.
The phrase that I would use to alter my own question here, stress test.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think this is going to be like, this is the most that you can stress test a team in, a team that with the Lions that knows so acutely what they do. They do it pretty well on all, like, in all phases. There's very few phases of the football game where you go, oh, they're just not good at that.
Yeah.
And so I think that this will be kind of a real stress test on a lot of these things that have been mediocre in a lot of ways, or at least inconsistent in a lot of ways, even if they have been good at points.
Yeah. Yeah.
On this team. And so, yeah, I think that somebody said gulp. Okay. Not next man up comes in as a potential phrase to be used for this game. Nuke. And I, it doesn't seem like
that
they mean Hopkins.
Doesn't sound like a good one. Yeah.
No. Wow. Yeah. Just a lot. Wow. Not a lot of positivity.
Well, we stumbled upon something here, didn't we?
Okay. All right. And okay. I think that this
Hiroshima.
Might. Okay. Let's call. We were having fun. But now we're doing too much. And then Joseph on the YouTube. Word is revelatory.
There we go.
That's a good one.
All right.
We will see some things. Are we about ready to head out?
Yeah, we're good to go.
To our guys at the Buffalo Wild Wings, Willowbrook Plaza. It's Ron and I believe Clint made it back for us fellas on a thirsty Thursday. Fellas, what's happening?
That's right. In our one of our home away from homes, a little thirsty Thursday, we are back here at Willowbrook Plaza. Down here off of Tomball Parkway, so come on out and hang out with us here from 2 to 6. Great things to hook you up with. As you know, we do not come empty-handed. Got a couple of $25 Visa gift cards and a pair of tickets to the Texans-Titans game coming up, and along with a wristband, two wristband, excuse me, that get you some free food and drinks for tailgating before the game, courtesy of Bud Light. So, So a lot to get out here is we got good food. They got new flavors of wings out here. And apparently I'm about to try some new margaritas out here. Yeah. They got them on tap. My man said,
"Margaritas on tap, huh?
Margaritas on tap. That's right, ain't it? Yeah, yeah. Margaritas on tap. So come on out, have a good time, and hang out with us. As we'll be here from 2 to 6.
It sounds like y'all are going to have a great time.
It is. And Clint is here. Clint is here.
Yeah, yeah. Margaritas on tap. That sounds dangerous.
It does. That was why I was very surprised.
I just wait for him to bring them over.
That was what I was surprised about. I was like, "Ooh, is Ron going to make it?"
Oh, I'm always going to make it.
In the mixtape today, Figgy brought some don'ts to do when it comes to dealing with the bartender. Do you guys have any stories of seeing some people make some faux pas with the bartender?
Oh, I mean, hell, if you ain't got that friend, I got one. His name is Tone.
Shout out.
Tone, I've seen Tone do this 2 or 3 times, just hop back there and just grab the bottle himself.
Lord.
His glass. And one of the times he just took it home. he was my roommate. He showed up, and you knew it was from the bar because it still had the little twist on the top. I've watched Tone. AKA 21st birthday, because that's every time he drinks, that's where he goes. Wide receiver, New Mexico State, by the way, as well. I watched Tone go reach right back there and pour him a vodka cranberry, which was his drink of choice in the early 2000s. Watch him just go pour it up, and I would move away from him. He's the guy that I'd just be like, nah, man, I'm just like I've had enough time, man. I'm not getting in trouble. I'm not getting kicked out with you, Tone. But Tone was a repeat offender of doing that.
Habitual line stuff, it sounds like.
Boy, you would think as much time as I spent in a bar, you think I'd have plenty. And I'll be honest with you, I don't have too many, man. There's not very often can I claim this, but I'd like to think that I tend to surround myself by folks that know better than to piss off the door guy or the bartender.
Yeah, that's
like
right.
Like them two are off limits. You can do whatever you want inside the bar, but I'll add a DJ. I'm looking at Matt too. I'll add the DJ. Don't piss the DJ off. Don't piss the doorman off, and don't mess with the hot bartender. Right? I mean, leave that alone.
All three of those things.
Yeah, leave them three are off limits. Anybody else, you can do whatever the hell you want to do. So I don't have any good bartender. Not those kind of bartender stories. Anyway, I ran across a couple of hot ones before.
I bet you have. That was what I expected. I expected you to have them.
Well,
stories.
Reg, you know, I mean, not that there's hot ones everywhere, but boy, they're a dime a dozen in Dallas now.
All right, you're not wrong.
At least they were in the early 2000s.
And it helps when you're a cowboy. I imagine that helps quite a bit.
Yeah, or desperado. I did more damage as a desperado, but that either way.
Yeah. Well, they didn't know the difference. All right.
Hey, we get we when you get off at noon. It's a little easier.
Well, if you were off at noon, go out and see the fellas at the Buffalo Wild Wings, Willowbrook.
Wow, that was strong.
Man. I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you.
Strong.
Yes, sir.
Come
yes,
on,
sir.
And are you serious, Reggie? That transition, you son of a bitch. Yeah, that was strong.
I appreciate you. All right, we're done here. Wow. It's done for the day. These fine fellas going to take over. You're listening to KLT, KLT HD2 and Odyssey Sports Station. And right now, The Drive is live.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.